Welcome to the Wolf Whistle podcast. I'm joined by a very special guest today, a former striker, Colin Taylor. Colin, born on Christmas Day in Liverpool in 1971, 24 appearances for the Wolves, 3 goals, also played for Wigan, Preston and Doncaster. Welcome, Colin Taylor.
Thank you. Hi.
How are you?
Not too bad.
Good, good, good. So what do you think of the studio we've got then, Colin?
Not too bad with all your pictures.
That's it. Do you like a few Wolves bits as well?
Yeah, not too bad.
Few players you've played with.
Aye.
Mr. Ball. We'll come on to that. So, Cole, first off, born on Christmas Day. I mean, I'd see that as a bit of a hindrance, really, because it's nice to have a Christmas present and birthday presents.
Yeah, it was, but I was due on January the 3rd, just decided to come early, so that's something I can't do nothing about.
So you was almost offside, weren't you, from the start?
Definitely.
So do people literally buy you presents for birthday and for Christmas, or did you get one present and people just got out of it?
Well, most of the time, got both. Sometimes it was like, you'll try and be a cheapskate and just give you one.
That's it. So, obviously, Colin, you know, 24 games for the Wolves, 3 goals. We'll come on to that shortly. But your schoolboy football, obviously, born in Liverpool. You now live in Ipswich. Born in Liverpool, obviously, which is such a football-rich city. Tell us about your schoolboy football there and how you got spotted.
Schoolboy football was mainly with St. Thomas of Becket, St. Augustine's first. And we had the likes of Jeb Brannan, who went on to play for Man City and Tranmere in our side. And then we went to Kirby Schoolboys together. We had Teddy Wilson, who's from our school as well. We then joined up with Alan Stubbs, who played for Kirby Schoolboys altogether. So there's quite a few players who made it.
So Alan Stubbs, obviously Bolton, Everton, Celtic. I mean, he had a great career, didn't he? So
yeah, Alan was a good centre-half. And he was one of the quiet ones, but he'd done a job.
And how did you get spotted? When did you first hear about the interest? I mean, was you scoring goals regularly at schoolboy level?
Yeah, I was, but it was mainly when we played Wolverhampton Schools, and we come down to, I think it was Wolverhampton Casuals we played at, and they had Neville Fennell playing. He was the centre half for them at the time, and I think we drew 2-2 and took them back to Kirby Stadium and beat them there.
Yeah.
But I got the 2 goals, and obviously Neville Fennell being at Wolves and a couple of other lads, they had a Wolves scout there, West Brom and Chelsea.
Okay. And was there other clubs that were interested in you other than Wolves?
Yeah, well, all 3 took my name, and then there was obviously Liverpool and Everton back home when you're playing down near Belfield and Melwood, which they send scouts out. I went to Everton, but I got asked to pack all the other teams in and not sign for anyone else.
And you didn't want to do that? You wasn't prepared to do that?
No, I mean, I even had crew come in as well, luckily. It was with Barry Bunnell at the time, so obviously no more said about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously you're a Liverpool fan, and anyone that follows you on Twitter will see that you're a Liverpool fan. I mean, were you tempted to go there?
Not really, because when you got the likes of Mac Manaman, who I knew from Kirby Schoolboys to Liverpool Schoolboys, who we played, he was there, and it was always, you had to be something out of this world, really,
really?
At that time when you're playing, because they had the likes of Dalglish, Rush and all of this, and those players were always, and they were winning things. So it was a choice. You either want to be a player or a number, and it was a choice of that.
So would it be fair to say, obviously, the reason that you chose Wolves was because you felt that was probably your best chance of actually making it as a professional footballer?
Partly, but also due to Buddy Powell. He was the manager, and when I come down and played when I was a schoolboy, Buddy Powell was the one who was in charge of the U team at the time, and it made it a lot easier, and the transition to move to Wolverhampton was was a lot easier as well through that.
And did you, was your digs early doors? Did you stop?
Yeah, I was straight away when I come down here. I was, we moved all over. Like I, well, I did anyway. I we had a few, obviously, because certain things go on with families which you don't know about.
Yeah.
So you go into one digs, and if something happens with them, you get moved to somebody else who's a part of the club that way.
And where was you living? Whereabouts in Wolverhampton?
Aldersley was one. I'm trying to think what else. There's quite a few places. Can't think off the top of my head.
So obviously you've always been a striker.
Yeah.
Was you as sort of prolific in the youth team? Because I know the reserves, for example, the Wolves reserves, your goal scoring record there, probably the record, isn't it? I mean, at the time, you were scoring goals for fun. But was it the same in the youth team?
Yeah, I mean, the 2 seasons between the youth and reserves, I think it was 111 goals in 2 seasons.
Wow.
So, which is not too bad.
It's unbelievable.
Graham Hughes used to give me a fiver for every hat-trick, so it went too bad.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Graham, bless him.
Well, I used to help him with a couple of jobs, and he said to me one day, he said, every time you score a hat-trick, I'll give you a fiver.
Flipping heck.
So that was a little bit of an incentive.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah. Stories like that. And where did the youth team play the games then?
When we first started, it was Castlecroft, and then we moved to Aldersley Stadium.
Got you. And obviously you progressed from the youth team to the reserves to the first team. And it was really at a time that not many players were breaking through, whereas obviously in the last few years at Wolves, or going back the last 10 or 15 years, you can name countless names of young people who've come through. But back then, in the late 80s, early 90s, players weren't really coming through the youth team.
No, they didn't really have a proper setup in the way that most clubs, the bigger clubs, you would say, did. But like I say, the last one before me, which I was told about, was Tim Flowers, was the last one who come through before myself into the, like, went through from schoolboy to first team. So I don't think the system was there as it is now. So I think that was the problem, where Wolves struggled a lot because they weren't getting players coming in.
Yeah. And the reserves, obviously, they played their games at Molineux as well, didn't they?
Yeah, well, that was the best part about it. You'd play on the grounds no matter where you went to. You'd play at Anfield, Old Trafford and stuff like that, Main Road. And you'd play the games against them on their pitches.
Yeah, and you'd be playing against them. Obviously, the reserves team then aren't like the under-23s now. The reserves team then were players that could not get in the first team or were coming back from injury. And there was, I mean, you was playing against the likes of, for example, one Paul Ince, obviously ex-Wolves player. I know you had a bit of an altercation with him, didn't you, Colin?
Yeah, a little bit, mainly because he stood at me from the top of my calf to the bottom, but... But like I say, we played that day, that night, we played against him, and there was Ralph Milne at the time. They had Rod Wallace, was it Rod or Danny Wallace? One of them who was there. Danny Wallace, and he had quite a strong side out that night. And but you'd go to clubs like that and you'd play, and you're playing against like Liverpool, you'd play Ronnie Rosenthal and other players who weren't getting a game at the time. And that's the difference between now and the under-23s.
Oh, it is completely different now.
Yeah.
And there was, you did suffer quite a bad injury in a reserve game at Molineux against Man United, didn't you, I believe?
Yeah, I had a medial ligament. Clayton Blackmore, I was running down the wing and obviously went to go one way, my knee went the other way. I come off and Sean Bradbury come on for me, which took about a month to get over. And Sean Bradbury was then playing against Forrest, who then done his medial ligaments, and I come back and I went on for him. So it's that was the worst injury I had.
In fact, there is quite a few similarities, looking back now, between you and Sean Bradbury, because Sean Bradbury made his debut for Wolves against Millwall at Molineux and scored twice.
Yes, exactly. Not many people who remember that.
Yeah, there you go. I'm a bit of an anorak, but yeah, I did remember that. Talking about, well, just before we go on to your debut, obviously, you played against Southampton in a friendly, I believe. And, I mean, there was absolute legends playing that day for Southampton, weren't there? Russell Osman, Matt Letizia was playing, I believe.
Yeah.
And a former Liverpool player. hard man Jimmy Case. I heard you had a bit of an altercation with them guys as well.
Yeah, well, I was lucky enough, like, with Paul Cook and Steve Bobby, like, jumping in front, because mainly I've gone in for the challenge and we've gone down on the floor, and as Russell Osman's gone to get up, I've tried to get up, I went to put my leg over the top and he brought his head up and it matched. Knee to nose, and next thing, you look around and you see Jimmy Case and Neil Ruddock running at you. So it's a bit bit surreal when you see that. And then luckily, like, Cookie and Bully jumped in.
Brilliant. And obviously your debut. So when did you reach? Because let's go back at the time. There was those 2 years where at Wolves, Steve Bull and Andy Mutch were just formidable. I mean, don't forget, Andy Mutch, for example, he was scoring 25 goals a season. In any other club, he'd be top scorer. And he was, you know, Steve Bull was talking about your 111 goals in 2 years in the youth team. Steve Bull did that in the first team. So for you to get into the team at that point, did you think you was ever going to get, was you waiting for an injury?
Well, when you're a player, I mean, most players will be the same, and if they're not the same, then there's something wrong. You'd want your chance, and you'd want an injury. You wouldn't want it bad, but you'd want an injury to get be given a chance.
Yeah, you'd want to get a bit of a niggle where, yeah, you know, nothing serious.
Yeah, just something that gives you the chance, knowing that they can't play for two or three games.
Exactly.
And that would give you the, yeah, like, your foot in the door type of thing. But other than that, you can't really, I mean, when I look back and people can say things about it, you look back and you think, well, it's probably the best strike force Wolves have had besides, like, the Richards era, yeah, as well. So there's two eras there, and if you're an understudy in either one of them, it was hard work.
Look, they were both great players. And like you said, you don't want to wish injury on a fellow professional, obviously, but for one of them pair to lose form, it wasn't going to happen, was it?
No, the thing was, they were, like, so good together. When I first joined, they were doing it then, like, in the when I was joined in the U team, and you're then just scoring goals, and you, like, then you get comparisons, and you try and get in somehow, and it's hard work. It's something that, like, sort of, I wouldn't regret anything at the end of the day. I mean, when people look back and go, oh, well, could have done this, could have done that. You can only do what you can do.
Look, Colin, you've lived the dream, and look, I'd give my right arm to play for Wolves, you know, and I'm sure many people listening, if there's anyone listening, yeah, would also do the same. So to just wear that shirt for our club is just...
Well, there is, I will tell you now, there's one bloke who keeps on saying it all the time, and I mentioned him earlier when we were talking, was Barry Connolly. And he turned round, and he's always, his thing is, you've done it,
yeah,
you wore the shirt. He said, and he's always said, maintained, anybody wore the shirt,
yeah,
is a legend in his eyes.
Of course, no one can ever take that from you, Colin. So how did you know that you was making your debut against Millwall? Was it the day before, was it on the day, you know, and why did you get your chance?
Mutchie was injured, and that's when I come in, and that's when you getting your chance, you don't, like, really think about it. It's one of those things where you just got to get on with it. If you start thinking about, I'm going to do this, going to do that, it's never going to work. So you just get on with it and go ahead with the game.
So Graham Turner was the manager.
Yeah.
And he just said, right, you're starting. Give you your shirt. What number was you that day?
Number 10.
Number 10. So yeah, you was up front with Bully?
Yeah, up front with Bully, and I think he got the first one, or was Gary Bellamy got the first one? It was either way round. And but then Sheringham scored for them, and it was later on when I was fortunate enough to get the goals.
Can I say, yes, we won 4-1 that day. Didn't we, 4-1, was it?
Yeah, it was 4-1, just like 3 days before Christmas.
And if memory serves me, you've already mentioned the one, Teddy Sheringham.
Yeah.
I believe Alex Ray was playing.
Alex Ray, Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, ex-Liverpool Jimmy Carter. The goalkeeper was Brian Horn, was he?
Not too sure, but I know Gary Waddick was the reason I know Gary Waddick, because he played the back pass for the second goal.
Right.
That was the main reason for him.
So, yeah, talk us through your goals then.
Well, the first one was a long ball had been played down the field on our, I think it was our right hand side. On their left, our right, and Gary Bellamy's intercepted it. He's played a long ball over the top. I've just gone to run, and I thought I do stutter at first when you if you see the goal, and the defender's gone to, I thought he had it, it's gone underneath his foot, and I've gone through one-on-one and just placed it into the corner.
Brilliant.
And the second one, it was basically, it was a bit of luck. Gary Woodock had the ball, and I think there was one of their players blocking his view, and I just stood behind the centre half, and when he's played it, I've come in from behind and I took a round to keep and scored.
So, but they was both at the North Bank end, wasn't they?
They were both at the North Bank end, yeah.
Which sadly was closed, wasn't it? Sadly,
yes.
I mean, but obviously, I mean, to play, I remember those days, the two stands open, obviously the night games, the floodlights on, they were really special times at the club for me, growing up my era. So, did you literally walk off the pitch that day? You'd scored two goals for the first team on your debut, and you think, you've got it, I've made it, you know, here I am.
No, it's just something that if you're doing something you love and you play, it's nothing. I never ever thought like that. It was always you just got on with it, and you'd hope you get the chance next time and the next game and the next game.
And was there a chance for you to get your hat trick in that game?
I can't honestly like
really.
Honestly, I can't remember. I know the two goals fine, but I can't.
Can you still remember them like vividly?
Yeah, they're like as if it was like yesterday.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
So, I mean, even the third goal that I got against Peterborough, which had somebody.
It was in a cup game, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. I think it was Anglo-Italian Cup.
Right.
And that was the goal I got in the South Bank, which was quite funny because somebody found some tapes for me, or DVDs at the time, took it from the tapes.
Maybe Betamax coin?
Yeah, probably.
It was
possibly.
A while back.
Yes, it was. And I'd forgot, and when I was watching it, I realised and I thought it was a good finish in the end.
Yeah.
When they saw it.
Brilliant. So, after the Millwall game, did you get picked the next game? Was Mutchie still injured?
Yeah, the next game after that, I think, was actually Sheffield Wednesday on Boxing Day.
Right.
Hillsborough, we drew 2-2, Bully got both goals. It was a terrible day. Rain and John Arks got sent off. Who was it? Steve McCall and Carlton Palmer scored for them. And it was one of
and how many was there that day? It was about 30,000, wasn't it?
Something
I think.
Like that. It was something along
at those lines. At Hillsborough. And then obviously only a few days later, it was my first ever away game. West Brom away. Rob Ironmarch scored.
Yeah, and I think that was the 94th minute, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it was that was a bit surreal because you go like at the time. With Wolves fans one end and like West Brom or like the other three sides, and you're getting booed by those three and then getting cheered by the other. So, but it was that was an amazing game. That was
playing in a derby like that. Must be unbelievable. Obviously, as well as Wolves, you played for England under 18s. And I believe the manager was Dave Burnside, who's also a sort of former Wolves player as well. How did you hear about your call-up?
Well, first of all, we played a game at Swindon, which was a trial game for the lads on the outside that they would see about trying to get into the squad. And went to Swindon, scored two goals, I think we won 4-2. And from then on, I got picked for the next game, which was Czechoslovakia at Wembley.
Right. And did you score any for the under-18s?
Not in the three games, because we won 1-0 against, you know, was it 1-1 against Czechoslovakia, 1-0 against Poland, and we got hammered at Oxford 5-1. And Andy Cole scored in one of the games, I can't remember, because it was like the squad that they had was Andy Cole, McManaman, Harkness, Brian Small, David Titterton, Ian Hendon, Dave Tuttle, Scott Houghton. Ian Walker as well.
And didn't you rattle the bar against Poland?
Yeah, come on. against Poland, and we've got a, been given a corner. I've come on, I've been on the edge of the box, ball's gone in, was headed out, and I've hit it full on the volley, and the keeper's managed to tip it onto the bar.
Oh. And was that at Wembley?
That was at Wembley, yeah.
Can you imagine rifling a volley in at Wembley?
Well, would you first touch you? That would be fantastic.
So, what year was that, Colin?
That was around the 1991 season.
So, 91. So, obviously, you got released by Wolves in 1993.
Yes.
Same, as you said earlier, the same year as Andy Mutch.
Yeah.
And you went to Telford.
Yeah.
So, you move into non-league football. Bearing in mind, you'd had loan spells at Wigan, Preston and Doncaster. You scored a couple of goals at Wigan as well, didn't you?
Yeah.
So, the bit really here is, you Telford found you a part-time job, didn't they?
Yeah.
And what was that? What was that job doing?
That was working for Blockley's, brick-making firm. But the funny thing was, I went to Shrewsbury before and trial, and also Northampton with Paul Jones, and there was a lot of clicks that went on.
Right.
And we went a few times to Northampton, and Phil Charles was manager at the time, and we went to Shrewsbury. Well, I went to Shrewsbury, and there was like the clicks, and then Jerry Daly and Kenny Burns was at Telford, and you thought, well, my thought process was like to try and work with somebody who's got the experience of Jerry Daly and Kenny Burns. And it was going all right until they left at right. Telford. So, and then George Foster come in, and we ended up that season. We just about escaped from relegation. And then the following season, I just didn't fit in for some reason.
So you got a part-time job at Telford, didn't you, as well? You was working in a build, what was it, you was on building site?
Yeah, built like your buildings.
And what was your job, what was you doing?
Basically, we was actually stacking bricks onto, inside, they had the, like, they were making the bricks and putting them in the kiln, and then once they're all done, you would put them onto the pallets, and then they would be taken off to whatever.
So, look, the point I'm trying to get to is, Colin, here, you've been playing for England under-18s a couple of years earlier, hitting the bar at Wembley, scored goals at Wolves. Mm. You're a professional footballer. You know, really, the world's at your feet.
Yeah.
This is how quickly football can change, or life can change. And next thing you know, and there's nothing wrong with this, by the way, the next thing you know, you know, you're stacking bricks in a builder's yard.
Yeah.
How difficult is that? I mean, you're a humble person, so. But
it was difficult in the way that you. It's like everything. It's like you go into football, you get 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. You go in, you stroll in, you do your training and what have you, and then you leave in the afternoon. Whereas it's a different scenario. Monday to Friday, you're in. That's like say six, 7 o'clock in the morning. Then on a Tuesday and Thursday, you go and train at Telford on the evenings. So that was a little bit different in a lot of ways.
So it's a part-time club, isn't it, really?
Yes.
And did you some of the players there, they're not obviously going to have the commitment that professional footballers are going to have?
Well, at Telford, we were fortunate in a way because we had Derek Statham there, Irvin Gernon, who's ex-Ipswich, in the same team. We had a bloke, Martin Myers, Marcus Bignot, Sean Parrish, who's now a coach at Wolves, Ken Hughes, ex-Shrewsbury goalkeeper as well.
It was a good setup.
It was a good setup and a good side.
You know, I'll just be blunt. Could you almost see the dream slipping away a little bit in terms of you're at Telford? You know, you've been at Wolves. Can you see it slipping away a little bit, perhaps?
Yeah, you can. But then, when you're scoring goals and you end up like top scoring in your first season there, and stuff like that, it don't seem that way.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean?
And stuff like that. But that eventually, as the year went on, and then you go to the second year, that's when you start seeing things like that happen.
So as a striker, you just want to score goals, you just want to play football. Did it matter what level? Because, you know, why didn't you stop in the league?
Basically because before, like, you had Bosman, you had this thing where you were told and you tried to get in, and it was always you'd go for the trial and you go and you try and do what you can. Like I said, touched on earlier, you had clicks in within the sides, and that's it's harder to get back in, which that's what I found. Other people, it may be different. But personally for me, when I went like to clubs, there were like groups of three and four, and they were like sort of, you weren't getting the ball and stuff like that. So you try and go for like and see it, but if they had it, they were always looking for the lads they know.
Yeah.
And if you're going by yourself, you've just got to try and do what you can.
Was there a chance for you to get back in the league at that point? Because I know then, afterwards, afterwards, you know, it was the Welsh League. I know you went to Worcester City.
Yeah.
And it was frustrating, really, for me, following your career back then, because I knew you was a friend, and we'll come on to that in a minute. And you know, I did feel for you, Colin. It was just, you could see, sadly, that it wasn't going to be the dream that it really should have been. Have you got any regrets?
No, I've got no regrets. I mean, because at the end of the day, when you look, you entered it, whatever you entered into, you do, and you get on with it, and you never look. I never look back. I've got like the kids and stuff like that, and you never look back and think, well, okay, fair enough. Oh, if I didn't have them or didn't do this or whatever, I done what I done. A lot of people don't even get the chance to do what I done.
Exactly that.
People do more, people do less. So it works out. And I think the thing is if you turn around and look back, you automatically forget half your career or whatever you've done. Like I say, I went from Telford, I went to Runcorn, I was still in the Conference, which is like now like the basically the fifth league, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good standard.
Exactly. So it was the standard I was playing at. And then, like you say, I went over to Bangor, went from there, took a bit of time with Carnarvon, played for Worcester, went to even as far as Chorley as well.
Chorley,
so,
yeah.
Exactly, so.
Stan Collymore made a point that people have said, you know, oh, you didn't do enough with your career, you're a failure, you're this, you're that. And he turns around and says, well, okay, if I'm a failure then, played for Liverpool, played for Nottingham Forest, played for England. Mm. Could he have done more? Perhaps, maybe, but you're certainly not a failure. Do you think you could have done more with your career? Do you think that... I don't really think, if you don't mind me saying, that you really did fulfil your potential, because, you know, with the England under-18s and breaking into the first team Wolves, I don't think you did. Do you think you fulfilled your potential?
Possibly not, but like you say, that's going down the road of regrets then, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think the thing is it's not worth having
regrets. Oh, no.
But that's what I'm saying. It's that thing. If you think you could have done more, you should have done more. Like you say, I look at things even now, and it's what is in front of you is what you've got or what you do.
Yeah.
If you worry about things or things like that, you start having regrets. And I just think what I done.
Yeah.
And it's that thing where if you worried about it too much, then you'd be living in the past, and I think that's where, and yeah, I could have possibly done more, but that's the thing about it. That's in hindsight.
Of course, at the end of the day, Colin, you were a great player. You was a goal scorer. Obviously, you had all that interest. You know, you was a real, real, real talent. And on top of that, as well, you're a good bloke. But you know, you've lived the dream. You've played wherever you played. Obviously, we're Wolves fans, so.
Yeah.
You know, it must be amazing. But where, you know, you've played at Preston, Wigan, Doncaster, these are big clubs.
Exactly.
So, you know, just fantastic. So, your family. So, obviously, Colin, I met you just after you got released from Wolves, actually. And yeah, you was in your 80s having a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Or a pint. And I was probably having the same. Then we got chatting. We ended up going on holiday together.
Yeah.
Lloret de Mar in Spain.
Yeah.
In 1994. Yeah, we just after you got released. So, was it really?
97.
So it was a few years after you got released?
Yes, it was a few years after.
So we went to Lloret de Mar in Spain,
yeah.
And you met your lovely wife, Colette?
Yes, I did.
And how many children have you got, Colin?
Got three children, Sean, Rhiannon and Amelia.
Brilliant. And you now live in Ipswich.
Yeah.
And you also play for the Wolves All-Stars.
Yeah, I've been doing that since, I think, 2011.
Because obviously we lost touch, and then obviously we got back in touch, which is fantastic. You play for the All-Stars. Now, is that something you really enjoy?
Yeah, I think the thing is with the All-Stars, it's something that you give back, and it's playing with players from all generations, and that's the thing about it. You've done something, played in the first team, and you start getting players from who've played in the first team at different eras, and it's nice to play in the same team. Although you like your head wants to do something that your legs don't want to do, but other than that, it's the causes of what we do it for.
Of course, and there's some great players involved with the All-Stars now. Carl Henry, Jody Craddock, Charles Lafignana, Simon Osborne, Tony Dinning. And there's a few players that you played with as well. Obviously, Mickey Holmes coming as a game. Yeah. Jackie Gallagher.
Yeah, Jackie. I used to clean his boots.
And did you really?
Yes, I come on for, I think it was, I've got to find the date out. I need to find this date out. But it was, we played Stoke at the whole Victoria Ground.
Yes.
Victoria Ground. And Jackie Gallagher, we went, there was a few of us, and we were just thinking we're doing the kit and getting the boots out and everything like that, and I was named on the bench, and then I was cleaning Jackie's boots, and I actually come on for Jackie Gallagher, which is quite funny, because when you're cleaning somebody's boots and then he's coming off and you're going on, it was a bit surreal in that way.
And he's a nice bloke, isn't Jackie?
Oh, in Jackie's
fact, he doesn't live too far from you now, does he?
No, he lives in
Wisbeach, just up the way.
Yeah.
And you, I forgot about this actually, Colin, but it's just reminded me, you actually hold a record at Wolves, the first Wolves substitute to be substituted.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because you was playing bad, was it, Colin?
No,
you missed chances.
No, it was, I'd gone on, and I remember Mick Hooper, who, like, when we played Leicester in the Zenith Data Systems Cup, who, like, on Sky, and he turned round and everything I hit, he saved. But then we played Charlton, which was at Sellers Park, and he was in goal for Charlton, and he was on loan from Liverpool there, and I've gone in, and as I've gone in, I think it must have been 15 minutes after coming on, I've gone in, gone over on my shoulder, whatever went on, I couldn't move my left arm, so I was trying to run, trying to see if I could do anything with it, but I couldn't run, I couldn't move my arm. And
because you don't want to come off after you've come on a sub, do you? You want to make an impact.
Exactly, you want to stay on. And Nicky Clark had to come on for me.
How long were you on the pitch for?
About 20 minutes in total.
To be honest, but you are the first Wolves substitute to be substituted. I'm not sure if there's actually been one since. I think there has been. That's why, someone did bring it. I can't remember it, wasn't it? I don't think it was that long ago.
Yeah, I think it has happened. But it was because we were only two subs at the time. And that's why I'd gone on. And then Nicky Clark would come on.
So
because we were the two subs for that game.
Oh, yeah, because back then it was only two subs, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was only two subs.
So it wasn't an Ali Deer moment at Southampton where you pretended to be George Weah's cousin and then got brought off. So obviously back at that time as well, Wolves... And it was quite obviously renowned that you used to train on the car park at the back. So was you involved in those training sessions?
Yeah, we done it quite a few times. And then sometimes you get involved, they'd ask us to join in the youth team. And then we'd have our own session afterwards.
On the car park. I remember that car park. There was rocks on it. There was divots. There was shale.
There was everything on it. And you could go to, my ball could be coming to you. You think you've got to control it, it hit a stone and just went off.
Yeah.
It was, but people remember it. The fans I speak to now used to come on a Friday morning just to watch you. And that was fantastic because they could near enough touch the players.
Of course.
I mean, that, like compared to nowadays, they can't even get near them. But
no.
With that, they could near enough touch them.
Yeah, of course.
Talk to them
afterwards. I actually remember coming down there, and Tomo reminded me the other day, spoke to Andy Thompson. He said you physically sometimes had to move the cars. You had to pick up the cars and move them.
Oh, yeah. There was loads of times where we had to move the cars off the car park. There was, usually about two or three. And on a Friday morning, he would know because we'd cone it off, but they'd still get in. And we physically moved the cars.
And it's so far removed now. I mean, you've seen the training ground now.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's like a little village. It's fantastic. state-of-the-art pitches. They've got every, and obviously you guys were playing on a shell car park. Where else did you train, Colin?
Down the hockey club down near Penderford.
Oh, well, Weston Road.
Yeah, that was later on. We'd done Castlecroft, Aldersley Stadium.
Dunstall Racecourse?
Yeah, Dunstall Racecourse as well.
Yeah.
We used to run around there. And we've done quite a few different places.
Canning Chase?
East Park, yeah. Right. Canning Chase, yeah.
Was you one for pre-season? Was you always at the front of the pack in the running?
I went at the front. you knew you had to do it. And that was the thing. That was the whole point about it. You got on with it. It's not like sort of the way you've got all this high-tech stuff nowadays. We had to run and run and run and then play and then run. They're weighing a lot of ball work within the first two weeks.
Yeah.
There was a lot of fitness work in the first 2 weeks, and then gradually the ball came in.
And did you used to eat right? Did they give you any, you know, I know pasta obviously was the big one back then in terms of carbs, etc.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was just the thing years ago, it was just totally, it was like basically being on a diet, like the way people do nowadays.
Yeah.
It was just trying to eat right in so many ways, like you say, pasta before games and stuff like that. Or if you had pre-match meals, you'd have chicken, beans, toast and little bits like that. Now they've probably got everything sorted for them and they've got to eat certain times at certain foods. We done what we thought was right at the time.
And a little birdie tells me there used to be what's called the Tuesday Club. I don't know if you ever went on the Tuesday Club.
No.
Oh, didn't you? No. Oh, no. Oh, right. Okay. Well, leave that one then. Yeah, there was a bit of a Tuesday Club where they'd go out for a few half a shandies.
No, I can't remember.
Oh, right. Okay. and what jobs have you done since you finished playing football,
Colin? Done a bit of security, done a bit of the cleaning.
You got a cleaning business, haven't you now?
Yeah, a little cleaning business and that, and that's what I've done basically. It's one of those things. It's like I say, it's a bit like you turn around and you need my wages, money, whatever, and you do what's in front of you. I don't worry about anything, what I've done, who where to play, whatever. It's a bit more surreal since I've been playing with the All-Stars. That makes it come back.
Yes.
And you see that. And then you see meet the fans who have supported them for years and stuff like that.
I mean, look.
And that makes it. And that's why, I think that's why with a lot of the players from years ago, they're more humble than what the players are.
Yeah. I mean, look, Colin, when you was at Telford, like we said, you've been in the first team, but you go to Telford, you have to get a job, you have to work. You know, it's not like, you're not a multi-millionaire footballer, are you? Like nowadays, there's players who don't get near the first team in the Premier League and they're already set for life because they've had a good contract, been negotiated by a very good agent. And it really wasn't like that for you. So,
no.
I know in Tony Cascarino's autobiography, he actually, quite interesting, if you know as you like me, listed all of his salaries, every wage that he had at every club. So, what was your, if you don't mind me asking, what was your first wage when you was a professional player?
The first wage, they did say about doing something in the way that it was like young pros only get £80 a week. And I think I ended up with something like £375 the first week.
So you
first wage.
So your first contract was £375 a week?
Well, that was, then it would like go up by £50 every year.
Okay.
£50 a week every year, every season.
You get an extra. Yeah.
So it was like £375, say.
Then £425.
That was for the half a season, and then it went to £425, and then like £475.
And would you given a goal bonus, a point bonus? Because I know there's points bonuses.
You had bonuses, and whatever the club set, that's what bonuses we were on. Well, that I was on, it was just basically simply as much as that. That just went on. You had appearance money for, like, obviously appearing in the first team and stuff like that, and win bonuses for reserves and first team, and it was obviously they varied.
So back then, early 90s, that wasn't bad money, was it?
No. I mean, late 80s, early 90s, that was like good money. I mean, I think it'd work out something stupid like, I think it was $2,500 or something like that.
Really?
Like today.
Which
still wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah.
Now. Oh. But I think the one thing is, from what I gather from when you've seen now to when we were there cleaning the boots and doing the stuff, I think, yeah, you touched on it, where some of the lads can get a contract, never play a first team game.
Yeah, which is quite sad, really.
It is. I mean, I had a bloke, actually, funny enough, a few weeks back when we were playing at one of the All-Star games the next day, and I got out for a drink and the night before.
You had a beer before the All-Star. Yeah, you know, if Melis finds out, he'll bench you.
And it was... but I was just... We were just chatting away, and this bloke said, "I've got a quiz question for you." And he said, "No Liverpool fan has ever, ever, ever got this." And he turned around and he said, he said, "Because I know all these quiz questions." He said, "I am the top one." I said, "Okay." So he turned around and said, "Name a Liverpool player who was on the bench for the European final, got a medal, never, ever played a league game."
Was that the goalkeeper?
Yes, it was a goalkeeper.
I can't remember his name.
His name was Chris Pyle.
Oh, right, that, yeah.
And I'm the only one who got it.
Really? Did you get it?
Yes, I got it.
Brilliant.
And the only reason I got it is because he used to live around the corner from us.
No way.
Literally lived around the corner, and everyone knew he was in the squad. And obviously, when we saw the medal when he come back, because he literally...
Oh, brilliant.
So, but then, things like that. So you look at a player like that, he's got a medal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's hanging up in his living room to this day, isn't it?
Exactly. And he never played
European Cup winner with Liverpool.
Never played a league game.
Yeah. You can't drop that in the
club,
can you?
Exactly. So you look at things, and what we touched on earlier when you said about, do you regret anything?
No.
That's a prime example.
You've put that shirt on. You've trod that path. You know, been on that Molyneux turf. It's unbelievable for you, and I couldn't even imagine it. Who was your best friend at Wolves, or you and your roommate?
We weren't really roommate, because you'd go. I mean, obviously you had bullying Tomo, like when you were in the first team, so you'd have them, and they all had their thing. So you, I mean, I roomed with Tim Steele. I can't remember who else. There was someone else. But it was always different.
Yeah.
Different,
so you players. Didn't have a set player.
No, I didn't have a set player. And like you say, when we were in the youth team, there were so many of us who got on, like the likes of Dave Butler, Stuart Leedon, Steve Morgan, Jamie Garner. There's Dave Reed.
You still catch up with a few of the former youth players now, don't you?
Yeah, well, we went out for the first time. It was the first time where we just started all getting back together. We went out last December, and we're going to go out again this December, and Barry Powell comes along as well.
Brilliant. And you've just got to make sure that there isn't a Wolves All Stars match the next day.
Probably won't be.
Well, Colin, I've got to say, it was an absolute pleasure interviewing you. Obviously, I know you personally, I know what a top bloke you are. And I want, you know, thank you for your time, Colin. I'm sure everyone listening will, you know, they'll be really, really interested in that, and I just want to really thank you. Before you go, I want you to sign the Wolf Whistle Wall of Fame, because there's going to be a few players over the next few weeks sitting in that seat, but you are actually the first person we've interviewed, Colin. So thank you very much, and
you're welcome.
Keep scoring goals for the Wolves All Stars.
Will do.
Cheers, Colin.
Thank you.